We hear the word tragedy. I think we almost always conjure up images of physical pain, of death, of loss. And yet there are other tragedies in life that are equally as painful. And yet somehow we don't quite see them as frequently, as often, because they're not physical. They're emotional. They're psychological. But there is real, there is sad, and there is tragic. For example, at some point in your life, you're bound to run across somebody who simply can't love. Try as they might. Can't do it. And the psychology is simple. To truly love somebody else, to have a deep, powerful, meaningful relationship with somebody, requires us to put down all of our defenses. To open ourselves up, to make ourselves vulnerable, to expose ourselves with all of our warts and everything that comes along with it to somebody else. And you know what happens when you put down all the fences that we've built around ourselves to keep others away? You know what happens when we drop our defenses? We can get hurt. And sometimes we do. And that kind of hurt, where we've let somebody all the way into the core of who we are, we've shown them everything, left nothing out there, and then we get hurt, that's real pain. And so there are some people who just won't go there. Others can't. The fear of that pain in and of itself is so paralyzing. They simply can't ever let somebody that close. And as a result, it's a tragedy. Because they'll never experience one of life's greatest gifts, one of life's greatest joys, to share your life with somebody else, to have a deep, meaningful, impactful relationship with somebody else. They'll never get it because of the fear of the pain. There's another one, maybe more familiar to us, certainly more apropos to the time we're about to enter. There are people we know, people we will meet, perhaps people in this room, who cannot reflect honestly and genuinely. And the psychology is the same. Because the truth of the matter is that to stand in front of a mirror and really look at ourselves and be totally open and honest with the things that we've done wrong, with the areas where we're really not so great, that hurts. To actually stand up and say, well, I really wasn't such a great friend. To stand up and think to myself, well, the truth of the matter is I really was pretty rude to my parents on more than one occasion this year, and to start listing them and go through them for yourself. To start thinking about all the times I made a comment, I posted a comment that actually hurt somebody. Maybe it was just a roll of the eyes. Or it was one of those lines that you say and then you say, oh, just kidding, right? Because you know you hurt somebody. To go through every single one of those for an entire year? All the times I could have done something better, all the times I came to that thing and just spaced out totally, every single one, every time I wasn't honest, every time I wasn't honest, that hurts. I don't want to go there. And so you know what we do? We build walls. We build defense mechanisms. We all know them. I really wasn't sure of that. God doesn't really care anyway. Oh, come on. I can't even remember what I did yesterday. I'm really going to remember everything I did all year? Give right. All right, turn the page. Next. Well, this is my favorite, because I've used it countless times. I'm really not going to be any better after you don't give her anyway. So why go through the process? In fact, this is where I get really smart. In fact, saying I'm going to be better is actually a lie. I'm a hypocrite. So instead of actually making things better, I'm making things worse. I've got another sin. Because I just lied to God. So better I don't go through the whole process. I'll come out one sin ahead at the end of Yom Kippur. Outsmart myself. They're all defense mechanisms. They're all ways of protecting myself against hurting, against feeling something that doesn't feel good. Because if I actually go through this process, you know, where we say the Hashem news and the Al-Khayt and we beat our chest, which, by the way, is not some sort of formula I'm supposed to say. It's supposed to be a mechanism by which I actually talk about the things I did wrong. If I go through it honestly and openly and really think about all the things I could have and should have done better this year, I'm not going to be in a very good place when I'm done. That's not going to feel very good. In fact, Chazal captured it for us. There's a tefillah we say when we finish the vidui that is probably the most awful tefillah we say at any point in the year. It is a terribly depressing, awful statement that captures the emotion of the moment if we've done it right. We say, Elohai, Ad Shelo Notzarti, Eini Chedai, God, I never should have been born. Achshav Shenatzarti, Ke'ilu Lo Notzarti. Now that I'm born, it's as if I wasn't. I've done nothing redeemable. Afar ani bechayai, I'm dust in my life, kal vechomer b'mitzasi, and when I'm dead, all the more so. Hare ani kechli male busha uchlima, I'm a vessel filled with disgust and shame. It is the most awful statement that we make at any time in our davening. It represents someone who has literally gone through that process, honestly, openly, looked at themselves and listed all those things they did wrong, because there's a big list, and said, God, man, did I screw up. So here's my question. The Mishnah in the end of Masechet Tanit says, V'chayu yamim tovim in Yisrael. There were no happier days for the Jewish people than the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. Tell me, please, how going through that awful, gut-wrenching process of actually being honest with ourselves, where we end up saying to God, God, you never should have created me. How is that possibly a happy day? And it doesn't happen once. We're going to do it in a few minutes, and we're going to do it several times. Of the court of Yom Kippur. How is that happy? That's depression? I think the answer is simple. In the moment, it hurts. If we do it right, it's really going to hurt. But the bigger picture is that if you want to experience something that's truly joyous, you want to experience one of God's greatest gifts to humanity, you have to feel the pain first. You have to understand who are you, and then you know what can happen? You can be somebody else. You can actually be better. You can't get there without taking the first step. Go through your paper and just do this. That's fast. Turn some pages. You won't be anybody else by the time you're done. But take the moment to go through the process, let it hurt, let it sink in, so that you call out to God for a moment and say, man, there's so much more I could have done. Hit that rock bottom, then you're in a place to say, I can now be better because I understand where I am. I'm honest with myself. I've seen it. Now I'm ready to be somebody better. And just as you heard Rabbi Bauer and others say, right, and Anna said it as well, we're not going to fix everything. No way. But you can be better. God told us we can do it. We know we can do it. And that, guys and girls, that being somebody more than I am today is one of God's greatest gifts, is one of life's greatest joys. To be better is something worth celebrating. Lo haydu yamim tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar be'av. There were no happier days in the Jewish calendar than the 15th of Av, and Yom HaKippurim, the 15th of Av, Tu Be'av, was the day in which traditionally young Jewish men and women would meet their bashert. It was a day for people to fall in love. It was a day in which we looked inside and opened ourselves up and allowed somebody else to come in. One of the greatest joys we could possibly have. And Yom HaKippurim, the day we look inside, we do it right. We open ourselves up and find not our basheret, but find ourselves. And that too, painful as it is in the moment, leads to life's greatest joy. I wish you guys a joyous, happy year.